Right, we've got some facts of war, okay? Now, before we launch into them, I want to tell you, these are off the internet, so they may be wrong. And they're all estimates. And as we know from back in the day, estimate is only a good guess. Okay? So if you've got a different number, that's okay, because yours is an estimate as well. Okay, here's some war facts.
It was one of the deadliest conflicts in history and led to major political changes, including the revolutions of 1917 to 1923 in many of the nations involved.
Okay, so in particular this morning, we're thinking about World War One. The reason for that will come apparent in a minute. Okay, and it led to massive changes in not all the world, but in lots of the world. Okay, thanks very much. Thank you. We'd like you a clap as the next one comes up.
In World War One, more than 70 million military personnel, including 60 million Europeans, took part in making it one of the largest wars in history.
Thank you very much. Can you imagine that? 70 million military personnel moved as a result of being part of World War One. That's some game of football.
Military losses were exacerbated by new technology and industrial developments and the tactical stalemate caused by grueling trench warfare.
Okay, so during World War One, yep. The top and bottom of that is, as part of World War One, we actually got better at killing each other. Don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. Make your own minds up.
It is 100 years since the end of the First World War.
Okay, so we're celebrating, or we're remembering, 100 years since the end of that First World War. Okay.
World War One, often abbreviated as WWI or WW1, also known as the First World War of Great War, was a global war originating in Europe that lasted from 28th July 1914 to 11th November 1918.
Okay, the Great War. Discuss, not now.
9 million combatants and 7 million civilians died as a direct result of World War One.
Try and hold them numbers in your head. I'm going to show you some other numbers later on that are even more startling or stark than them numbers. Okay. Thank you very much to our readers there. Incredible. Right, if people have just read, if you want to get a seat, and could we have, who's got Luke? Who's got the Luke reading? Scarlett, could you come and read us that Luke reading, please? Don't worry, I know it's not in keeping with the order, but hey.
Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a
delegation,
while the other is still a long way off, and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples.
Thanks, Scarlett. Brilliant. Delegation, it just means somebody else on his behalf. Yeah? Somebody to carry a message for him. Lovely. Brilliant. Now then, when I went into guides this last week, and don't worry if you're not a guide, your turn will come, another parade service, no doubt, okay? Just that Captain got in there first and said, we want to be involved. Brilliant. Proactive. Love it. I asked them for some facts that they knew about the World War. And they talked about poppies, and they said, poppies are something to do with World War One because they were growing on the battlefields. And that's right. And then they went on to make I kind of escaped, left stage right, and they went on to make these poppies. They made these all on Friday night. And the different colours. And if you want to know why, then speak to the guides afterwards. Maybe as you're taking a cup of coffee of them, you say, hey, what's the deal with the white poppies or the purple poppies? The red ones we tend to know a bit more about, don't we? Because they were growing in the fields during the First World War, where the carnage was taking place, and it reminds us of the blood that was shed, the blood that was lost, the redness of the poppies. Okay, and we've got some more poppies down here, some poppy wreaths, haven't we? Lads, do you want, and lasses, do you want to pick up your wreaths? Okay, come and have a stand on this step. That's it. Okay, and did you buy these from a shop?
No.
No, where did they come from?
We made them on different tables.
Right, so you made these poppies, and the leaves, what are them?
They're our hands.
They're your hands. I think Goliath must be a beaver. Look at the size of that jocker there. Or is that one of your leaders?
I don't know.
You're not sure? Okay, I'll come around and check later.
A different table
I see. Would you like to just go and put them on that table there, next to them other beautiful poppies? Yeah. That's wonderful. Thanks, lads. So you put some, and lasses, you put a lot of effort into that. That's wonderful. We're going to stand because we've got to that time. We're going to stand, and the idea is that we're going to just be quiet for a minute. I know sometimes we say it should be 2 minutes, but, you know, when you're five, the minute's a lifetime. Okay? So we're going to have a bit of understanding, and we're going to stand for a minute. And during that minute, we're going to remember the people from all the countries that were part of the First World War, Second World War, all the wars that have taken place since, that have been killed or injured or displaced. And yet I've got a star reader coming up, and they're going to conclude our minute silence for us by reading a bit of a famous poem for us. If you want to stand behind that mic, and I'll give you the nod when it's time. So let's stand. And let's be still, and let's be quiet.
They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years contemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
Father God, we want to indeed remember all those that gave up their lives for what they believed in. That gave up their life in obedience. Father God, we want to remember those who counted our futures more important than their present. In Jesus' name, amen. Please take a seat. We've got another reader. Has somebody got our John reading, please? Yeah, lovely.
As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. As you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in your joy and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to say lay down on one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Thank you. And it's quite poignant today that we think about the fact that so many people did lay down their lives for us. And it's somebody very wise pointed out in the prayer meeting that wise and esteemed and venerable pointed out that probably that is the nearest we get thinking, remembering about the wars, to what Jesus did for us. What we believe Jesus did, that he gave his life, as our reading in John talked about, when Jesus said, you're my friends, so I'll give you my life. I'll give you my life. Okay, Nigel, can we have our next PowerPoint up, please? Okay, this morning we're thinking, if we want a peg to hang it on, about counting the cost. Okay, in our reading from Luke, it talked about a king counting the cost. Have I got enough troops to go and have this battle? And if not, if it doesn't look like I'm going to win, then I better think of another way. And there's a little bit before that, which talks about building a tower. It says, if you want to build a tower, the first thing you need to do is check that you've got enough money to buy the bricks. Because you don't want to start a tower and end up with a stump, do you? You know, because you look a bit daft then. So we're looking at counting the cost. And I suppose in one way the question is it worth it? Is it worth it? And I'm not going to answer that one, because that's down to you and that's down to your conscience. But I've got some facts here. In World War I, there were 40 million casualties. That's not just people that fought, and it's not just during the war. That's people that were injured, and it's people that suffered as a result of the cost of the war. So the fact that people were moving all over the world, just shortly after that, we had a massive flu epidemic that was worldwide, and millions of people died in that. The fact that such a lot of resources went into the war that there weren't resources back home to provide for families and to provide for families after the war. In World War II, there were 60 million casualties. How sad is that? Then in the space of a decade or two, we'd actually got even better at killing each other. What do you think about them numbers? Can you imagine what 40 million or 60 million looks like? I asked the guides, if you had £60 million, would you use it for a bonfire, didn't you? And you all went, no. And you wouldn't feed it to your dog either. We established that. We've already had that, haven't we? And that's what we're looking at this morning, remembering. Okay. Now, the problem is with them numbers, I can't get my head around them. I can't really think what 40 million people look like. I can't really think what 60 million people look like. But I can think what one person looks like. And what you see before you today is my family tree, or bits of it. Some of the details are a little sketchy, because my uncle, he's done our family tree way back. I don't exactly know how far, because I glaze over eventually. But probably as far back as the Battle of... William Conqueror. I think probably one of our family tree, my ancestors, were probably King Harold's shield carrier. They were very bad at timekeeping. Watch out, you'll have somebody's eye out with that. Anyway, no. What I want you to look at is on the bottom, and Nigel pointed out that this family tree is upside down. I've done that for a reason. On the bottom, on the left-hand side, can you see? Hey, up. Here we go. Can you see that? Ah, James Bond is that. Yeah. Can you see that name there? Harry Stables. Harry Stables is my great-granddad. Okay? There's a few things you might not want to know about Harry Stables. He was the son of a lady in waiting, a servant, one of the maids at Wentworth Woodhouse for Earl Fitzwilliam. And before long, he was also a poacher. He was a miner. All his life, he was a miner. And he had a broad and varied vocabulary. Yeah, he did. If you don't understand what that means, ask your mum and dad when you get home. Now Harry Stables, he would have been of age to go off into World War One, okay? But he didn't, because he was a minor. He was in the reserved occupations. So he had to stay at home and dig the coal to provide the power to make the guns, etc., 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 the steel. Coming from Rotherham, everywhere around there, we were either digging coal or making steel back in the day, in the good old days. Some people say he got off lightly. Well, I just like to say that every day of his working life, he had the chance of being blown up, covered, buried alive, and gassed. Every day of his life, not just for 4 years, 5 years. Anyway, he met Grandma Stables somehow, and they had Lawrence, also known as Uncle Lol, Harry, Uncle Harry, and Alice Bisbee Stables. Now, you might think Bisbee's a funny name. Our family, if you're a girl and you're a Stables, you get that for free, Bisbee. Alice was the last one. But apparently, for generations beforehand, if you were a girl and a Stables, you got Bisbee thrown in for fun. And she met George Wilfred Allen. Okay? And they had Peter Allen, who ended up having his own family, and Marjorie Allen. And Marjorie Allen is my mum. Okay, so we've got my great-granddad, my grandma and granddad, and my mum. And she met Roger Collinson. And they had Peter and Dean, Andrew and Robin. That's me, by the way. Just in case you thought it were Robert for the last 20 years. No, it's Robin. Only when I'm in trouble, though. And he had the great fortune of meeting Linda Richardson. Is that how you spell your name, by the way, Bert? Yeah, I've got it right. I didn't ask. I've got it right. I never call her Linda. No. And then we had Owen Collinson and Georgie Collinson, but not in that order. Okay, and that's where it stops at the moment, thankfully. And well, the point I want to make is, you know, you might say, well, why am I talking about Harry down here when he never went away to fight? Just imagine if he did. And just imagine if he didn't come back. What would have happened if great-granddad Harry had not come back? Yeah? I wouldn't have been born. Alice wouldn't have been born. Marjorie and Peter wouldn't have been born. Andrew and Robin wouldn't have been born. Georgie and Owen wouldn't have been born. Just quite literally, this is why I did it upside down. Imagine a tree in your garden and you cut it off at the bottom. The rest of it never grows. and for millions of families around the world. That's what's happened. This generation here is often referred to as the lost generation because they just disappeared. They went away to war and never came back. Anybody from Middlesbrough? No? No? My economics teacher was from Middlesbrough, who was called Mr. Chisholm. He'd be very proud of me because I've remembered something. When you don't have something because you spend that on something else, that's called an opportunity cost. And the opportunity cost of the First World War were that millions of families didn't grow, didn't develop. We think back to our readings, and they talk about Jesus thinking about his future, thinking about what God wanted him to do, and making a choice that you and me, our futures, were worth him giving up his life. Were worth him dying. And that's a massive thing. And just as that one man, it's almost scriptural, just as that one man, Harry Stables, influenced the lives of so many people, so that one man, Jesus, has influenced the life of so many people. Now then, let me ask you this. If I said to you, in this briefcase is £1 million. Would you like it? Yeah, I heard the response here and I saw a response here. Yeah, it's not, I'm sorry. It's just got my preaching notes in. But the correct response is to say, yeah, please. What you're offering me, I'd love to take. It's a bit rude not to, really. You know, when I make my living gardening, and there's so many kind customers who say, would you like a drink? And when you say no, it feels a bit rude. Because they're offering you something. And Jesus offers us his life. He offers us a tomorrow with him. It's a bit rude when we say, no thanks. I'm all right, thanks. I'm good. I'm all right as I am. So as we're in remembrance and we remember the gift made to us by so many brave men and women back in the day, let's remember the gift made to us by Jesus. That we would have life to the full. That our joy would be complete. And if that's something that you want to unpack, then please see me after, on the way out, or as I'm tidying up. If that's something you want to unpack, then come along to Messy Christmas. There's some flyers out there, and there'll be people around that you can talk to about it. If that's something that you want to unpack, call in at the office, call in at the church. That's what we're here for. You know, we've got some good news, and we want to share it with you.